Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're about to hear opinions that you may like. Then again, you might hear some that offend you. We don't apologize for that. This is American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson.
You know, you can change government by, you know, kicking the bums out and electing someone else. And in most states, you can change government with a referendum that you put on the ballot. But you can also change government by changing its foundation. I'm talking about the Constitution, and that's a big debate happening right now. I'm Mike Ferguson. Thank you for making American Viewpoints part of your weekend. Joined now by Mark Meckler, the president of Convention of States. Mark, first of all, thanks for being on the program this weekend. Exactly what is an Article 5 convention of the states that you would like to see called? And then we'll get into what you'd like to see accomplished.
That sounds great. Good to be with you this morning and glad to have a chance to talk about this. Article 5 of the Constitution is the place where we get the power to amend the Constitution. And there are two parts of Article 5. The first is the way we've gotten all 27 amendments so far, and that is whenever two-thirds of both houses of Congress proposes an amendment, it then goes out to the states for ratification by three-quarters of the states. So that's 38 states right now. But there is a second part of that. The second clause gives we the people the power to call a convention of states when Congress becomes non-responsive, which is where we're at right now in American history. And so it takes 34 states to call a convention of states. They do that by making application in both houses of their state legislature, and no governor's signature is involved. It's just a resolution. And they apply on the same terms. In other words, in order to get to those 34 states, you have to have all the states ask for the same thing.
What are the specific goals? I mean, what amendments would you like to see to the U.S. Constitution? Because this is a huge, huge implication when we're talking about amending the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, so I think this is important that we characterize this correctly. We're really not so much looking to change the U.S. Constitution as to put back the foundations in place. Over the last 115 years, the United States Supreme Court has greatly eroded the Constitution, and they've really done that by expanding federal power. The federal government was meant to be a government of limited enumerated powers, but through a variety of decisions, literally thousands of pages of decisions over the last 115 years, the federal government's power has been expanded by the Supreme Court. So our job as citizens is to go back and re-limit that power and return the power to the states and the people. And the application that's being proposed, it's now been approved in 15 out of the requisite 34 states so far. It says these three areas can be discussed at convention. Anything that would impose fiscal restraints on the federal government. So that's like a balanced budget amendment. Founders said it was immoral to impose debt on future generations. We now have $29 trillion in debt. It would include things potentially like limitations on spending and taxes. The second area is it would include anything that would impose term limits on federal officials. And notice I use the term federal officials and not Congress, meaning Congress, yes, but also what we now know as the deep state, staffers and bureaucrats who wield too much influence in Washington, D.C. and are not accountable. And then finally, it would allow us to impose scope and jurisdictional restrictions on the federal government. That means there are many areas that the federal government is involved in right now that are not, in my opinion, and in most scholars' opinions, not constitutionally appropriate. Things like energy, education, the environment. These are things that the federal government was never meant to be involved in, but they've been given that power by the Supreme Court. So we could specifically limit those sorts of powers, do away with things like the EPA, the Department of Energy, Department of Education, and frankly, many more.
One of the objections to the whole concept of calling a convention of the states is that Article 5 doesn't limit the proposals that could be made or voted on. So if you call an Article 5 convention for, say, a balanced budget amendment, that somebody could say, you know what, while we're here, let's go ahead and do away with the Second Amendment or something like that.
Right.
How much of a concern is that you could have a runaway convention because the states would pick who the delegates are and you wouldn't really have any say over that?
Right. And the reality is there's absolutely no concern of that. And I don't expect people to believe me. You look at all the great conservative constitutional scholars that have weighed on this, like Robbie George at Princeton, Randy Barnett, who runs the Georgetown Center for the Constitution, I would say the greatest libertarian constitutional scholar in the country. Rob Nadelson, John Eastman from Chapman Law. These are guys that have spent their entire lives studying the Constitution. Mark Levin is another one. You can go to our website at conventionofstates.com and look up the Jefferson Statement. You can see all the scholars that have signed on saying that's rubbish. And it's important to know where that comes from. The idea of a runaway convention was given us to us by retired Chief Justice Warren Burger. You might recognize that name. He's the liberal justice, Chief Justice, who signed Roe versus Wade. And he was asked what he thought about a convention. Specifically, at that time, they were trying to get a convention to overturn Roe versus Wade. And of course, he said it was a horrible idea and might result in a runaway convention. He got leftist law professors from Yale and Harvard to write articles about it, trying to stop conservatives from holding such a convention. He was successful, actually, back in the 70s in that regard. Ultimately, today, that argument of the runaway convention is supported by every single radical leftist organization in America. That's not just hyperbole. That's a press release put out by Common Dreams, which is a partnership of Common Cause and Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Those are leftist organizations funded by George Soros. It's signed by the likes of Code Pink, MoveOn.org, Daily Cause, every public employee union in the nation, Planned Parenthood, La Raza, you name it. It's a who's who of radical folks on the left. And so there is no chance of a runaway convention. It's a fallacy been invented by the radical left to keep people on the right from actually using the constitutional remedy to save the Constitution.
We're visiting with Mark Meckler, the president of Convention of States. It's pretty easy to point out how the federal government violate the Constitution as it is right now. How would amending the Constitution restrain government if they don't really pay much attention to parts of it as it is?
Yeah, to me, that's one of the best questions. In fact, when I started this process almost 8 years ago, that was my primary question. But there's a question we have to ask is, what are we talking about when we say the Constitution? Most of us think about the pocket constitution we might carry around. Unfortunately, that's not the Constitution of the United States anymore. That's the original document. But you can order the Constitution of the United States from the government publishing office. The last edition was published in 2012. It says on the spine, the United States Constitution Centennial Edition. It has over 2,738 pages in it. It weighs over 10 pounds. It contains every case ever issued by the Supreme Court expanding federal government authority. And it is that constitution which is followed by the United States government. And the remedy for fixing that is to call an Article 5 convention and to push back on the Supreme Court by proposing the proper kinds of amendments.
Is this something that the checks and balances of other parts of government could limit or restrict, or would this take precedent? Because I imagine there's a lot of people going back to the schoolhouse rock understanding of civics right now.
Yeah, it does. There are no quote unquote checks and balances outside the Article 5 process on the process itself. It was put in the Constitution by the founders as a way to wire around the president and wire around Congress if they became unresponsive to the people. The way it works is, as I said, the states get together in convention, they'll propose amendments in these three areas. And then the important, what I would say is structural check and balance on all of this is, no matter what comes out of convention, the convention actually has no power. The only thing the convention can do is make suggestions. I actually call it a suggesting convention. They'll send those suggestions out to the states for ratification. So for those people who are just paranoid or they bought into the leftist propaganda, they have to understand that it takes 38 states to ratify. And you mentioned the Second Amendment. I'm a huge Second Amendment proponent. Here's the way it works. It would take only 13 states to stop anything from being ratified. So you think about the 13 most conservative states in America, and actually only one house in each of those states. The idea that they would even take up, let alone ratify something that would repeal or damage the Second Amendment is just, it's a fantasy.
Okay, real quick, Mark, where are the numbers at? How many states have sent in the call or they've approved it? And how many do you need to actually make an Article 5 convention happen?
In 30 states, it's been passed out of committee. In 23 states, it's passed one house or another. And we've completed the process in 15 states. It requires 34 states. We're almost halfway there. This week, the West Virginia Senate approved it on a voice vote. It wasn't even close, so they didn't even count votes. But likely their House will approve it this weekend or next week, making it number 16. We'll make it past the halfway mark here pretty quickly. And I expect another 4 to 6 states to pass it this year. So we're well on our way to those 34 requisite states.
All right. Where do we go online to find out more about what you're doing and what the goals are?
Go to conventionofstates.com. And I encourage people, don't just find out, get involved. You file the petition or sign the petition on the website. That'll go to your state legislature. We need as many people involved as we can. So far, over 5 million people are involved across the country. Now it's time for you to get involved at conventionofstates.com.
All right, Mark, appreciate the information. This is pretty interesting stuff here.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Mike.
Well, did you get your latest stimulus payment yet? And while a lot of people are focused on that $1,400, we should also look at the bigger picture. Trillions of dollars in spending. Does that actually stimulate the economy long term, or are we ignoring the unintended consequences? That discussion is just ahead on American Viewpoints.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad? Your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.